Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have a Millennial Music Chat with Skating Polly.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, welcome to another edition of Lifestyle Thursday for Millennial Money. We appreciate your time, we appreciate you joining us for this episode, and we think we have a good one in store for you. So, the band Skating Polly is a family affair alternative punk band from Oklahoma with sister Peyton Bighorse on guitar, brother Curtis Mayo on drums, and sister Kelly Mayo playing the guitar-bass hybrid instrument, which is called a bassitar. And that's an instrument that is not widely used, so which shows how interesting, how cool this band can actually be. And even though Skating Polly is a young band, their musical roots and rock and roll historic knowledge run really deep, with influences from the Beatles to LA punk legends X, which is one of my favorite bands, to the Femme Fatale groundbreaking artist, which is Liz Phair, to the wall of sound that was the mega gods Nirvana. We had a lot of fun chatting with this young millennial band about how the sisters formed this group after a Halloween party when they were at ages 9 and 14. So they've been pretty much had music around them all their lives and been into music all their lives. How they write songs on their ukulele, why they're on the road, because that's just a lot easier to write with, especially when you're traveling by car, van, or something like that. And we also chatted about what music they're listening to on their playlists on Spotify and other things that they're listening to. And they had some really great tips. This artist, Jenny O, who they're going to talk about. I absolutely love Jenny O, and we need to check her out as well, too. And hopefully we can get her on the podcast coming up in 2018. Now, speaking of 2018, Skating Polly actually just finished recording a new album just about a month ago, and that will be coming out in 2018. We'll have the link to their website on our website, so take a look, you know, take a listen to their album coming up in 2018. They're actually currently on the road right now through several dates in December. So if they are in your neck of the woods, you definitely want to catch a show. They are one of the best live bands around right now, especially young live acts right now. So you want to check them out. Again, their link will be on our website. So enjoy our conversation with the band and family, Skating Polly. So you guys growing up in Oklahoma, what was the music scene kind of that you guys kind of grew up with and that kind of influenced you to get into music in the first place?
Well, this is Kelly, by the way. I mean, before we started playing shows and stuff, I was like, we were raised on a lot of really cool music. And so that was probably the biggest thing, was just like the music we were listening to at home. And then Peyton would get online the website for this local venue called the Conservatory at the time. And she would, because they had all ages shows there and they were only like $10, right?
Right.
And so every week she would find a show, she would listen to all the bands on the page, and she would like pick like the most punk one or like the most catchy band, and we'd go at their show. And I mean, we just were really kind of starstruck by everyone. Like anytime we got to meet the band, which was like every time pretty much, so it was a small venue, like maybe a 150, 200 cap room. We were just like so like I don't know, just like we felt like, oh my gosh, we're really meeting people. This is the real deal. And past that, because it was like, you know, a local venue, we'd see the open bands. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there were a lot of really cool bands when we first started. I remember like garage rock was really big. Like that was like the kind of like hit phase that everyone was going through. So there was like a lot of garage rock bands. There was, like, really good folk artists. There's Girl Samantha Crane still making music. Who's like, one of our favorites. I don't know. Cool.
What do you think? That's kind of interesting. You always wouldn't think that Oklahoma maybe would have that kind of the music scene. So I think that's interesting that you guys kind of were surrounded by that.
Yeah, it was, like, small. And everyone kind of, I mean, people did a lot of different stuff. It really wasn't like everyone was making the same kind of music, yeah. I feel like. And because it was small, like everyone kind of supported each other. And I mean, we got our first show because this local like sound engineer, Chris Harris, like came to our house to help us make our first record because we were recording it on house. And we gave him all these business cards we'd made. And he handed them out to, like, local bands, and he talked to the local bands. And then a couple months later, we got a message, like, with a support slot for someone's CD release show. And we were so excited. We became obsessed with that band's music. And it was really, really cool.
And you guys actually kind of formed kind of out of a Halloween party that you guys were playing at? Is that the story?
Yeah. It was our family was throwing a Halloween party, and we were just kind of, I mean, we'd been playing around on instruments for a while, but at the Halloween party is really where we were playing, and we thought that, like, oh, wow, we could really do this. We could play music together. We actually kind of had this audience, like, built in that just had to listen to whatever we were doing. So I think that was maybe the main part. Like, we just played our first show at this Halloween party, but now we're just a band.
right.
Nice. Like all fifth graders who would much rather be listening to Anna Montana, but it was still an audience, you know.
Exactly, that totally counts. I like how you guys describe that your music. That's what you call
fashionable, always try, you know, you're always kind of trying to do new things. What do you guys always like? Because you guys are in the studio right now, right? You're heading into the studio.
We just finished up 2 weeks in the studio with Brad Wood. He was like one of the coolest producers alive.
but you guys, are you guys always trying to do something new every time you go into the studio?
Yeah, but not necessarily like inspired by like the new things that are coming out. Like mm-hmm. I think I am. We're always like trying to evolve, and I mean, literally every song we write, we try to put something in that we've never done before mm-hmm. that we couldn't do. Like I'll put bass parts in my songs that I can't play yet, in the hopes that I'll get there. I have got first drop. Like, well, I'm never gonna learn this. So, but yeah, that's kind of the fun part is like we are always trying to change, and we're always trying to find like. It's funny, like Curtis, my brother, and he's also in our band now. He's mm-hmm. over there.
Yeah.
In the he's really good about anytime he rules out a genre or a band, he can like go find the exception to that. He'll be like, actually, there is one really good rap country song, and then he like plays your thing. And you're like, wow. So you know, on that same note. We try to like consume a lot of things and just, you know, be inspired by it. And maybe it doesn't come across, but I'll take notes from really weird things and I'll reference really weird things in my songs that the song probably doesn't sound anything like, but you know, it helps the song be cooler and different.
As long as it works for you then, right?
Yeah.
Well, how was it playing with, you know, maybe Phoebe, you guys had playing with some of your heroes, you know, like X and, you know, Veruca Salt, Luis Post and Neenan Gordon on the last album, stuff like that. And you guys opened for X and Xene produced one of your albums, stuff like that. How is the influence in working with those kind of artists on a younger band like yourself?
Well, a lot of our heroes are just really, truly authentic people. So I think that has influenced us a lot to try to be as authentic as we can be and try to just put as much of ourselves into our music as possible. And I mean, plus they're really great songwriters, so that it can't be bad to be around.
Yeah. I think, each of them has different things. It's not like you take away one message from them, but I mean, from being around your heroes and stuff, it makes you incredibly grateful, and I think it makes us really want to like, you know, support whoever we find out about and like or whatever, you know, because it's like we were given this amazing opportunity, and we're not on that same scale as them yet, but I just kind of want to give anyone that I whose music I appreciate and who's not getting enough attention as much attention as possible.
Yeah, well, and that's also maybe different too than just opening for them. You know, these guys are actually working with you because they like your guys' music. So that's kind of cool that, you know, that your heroes, if you will, you know, kind of they like your music as well.
Yeah, it can be kind of intimidating, scary.
Sure.
I mean, like on this last tour, for instance, Xene had sent us lyrics to a song called Queen for a Day, and she just pretty much just sent me this poem, and she was like, do you want to use these for song lyrics? It's pretty cool for you guys. Whatever. And I was like, of course I want to use these for song lyrics. You have my favorite lyrics. So I took that. And I took this poem and wrote a song with Peyton and Curtis pretty much in that practice. And then I expanded on it. We added all these parts. And we've been playing it, like rehearsing it for a while, like behind the scenes of a lot of tours we've been rehearsing it. We haven't broken it out officially yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first show of our last tour with X, I was like, okay, I'm going to play Queen for a Day. And she was like watching on the side of the stage. And I was like, I could completely disappoint her right now. I could like annoyed. Like, what if she hates this song? And she's like, well, and those are my words. How am I going to ask for these back? But I don't know though. And so we played it and I looked over there and she was like hearing and just like being like so sweet. And it was like one of the greatest feelings of my life. And then I so far, like, you know, it was also kind of a lesson, though. It's like, if you just do you and you're not trying to, like, cater to someone else, like, I didn't go into writing that song to make it sound like X or to, like, based off of the same venue it seemed like. I just kind of wrote a kind of song that I was in the mood for, and I was actually kind of scared that it was different from most things it seemed like. But she liked it because she likes us and she, like, trusts us. And I think that's one thing that all of the really cool musicians and, like, our idols that we've been able to work with have in common is that they kind of just trust us and they want us to be us and they don't want to try to, like, form us or make them make us just like them in any way. They just want us to, like, do us, and then they've been really endlessly supportive and cool.
Well, you mentioned too about them being good songwriters too. Is that something you guys pick up through them and like you pick up techniques and just like how to write a song and how they write songs and stuff?
Well, I mean, in some ways, yeah, we do pick up a lot of little tricks and techniques from them, especially, like, whenever we were working with Nina and Louise in the studio, they would just do things that we'd never done before, and we'd, like, reuse those in songs now. And I'm sure, like, listening to their music and, like, years before we started our band really helped form how we write songs. And, yeah, I think that if we hadn't heard their music, we would be writing a lot differently.
Yeah. I mean, and every time we get to, like, I feel like every time I see these bands live or you know, with Nina and Louise, write with them, I become, like, a super mega fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I like, even more so than before, like a stalker fan. Like, I get on their Wikipedia, I read everything about them, or YouTube interview, and I, like, become obsessed because, like, I mean, so far, at least, with you know, all these people, I have picked up on little things. Like, Xtine changes her vocals for every single show.
Right.
And so that I just want to, like, change my songs. And, you know, because she says, you know, well, it's one thing to play a song 1,000 times, but can you play, you know, it 1,000 different ways? And I love that. So I'm just like, that really stuck with me. And then Nina and Louise, you know, would be running something in her. I thought we just added some crazy weird thing to a song, and I was like, well, does it fit? And then they, you know, they'd be like, well, when we go back to the first, and it was like, it's just interesting, like, hearing people refer to things as different things, hearing how their mind processing it, and then it's like, oh, I guess that is kind of all we just did, and then you definitely pick up on little tricks from everyone, and at least I tried to. I very intensely watch every single person, and even if I can't, like, take away that trick and learn it myself, I've definitely, like, noticed it because I'm gushing over them.
Right. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
I also read that you guys like when you're on the road and stuff, you guys like to write with your ukulele. Is that a lot easier sometimes, or is that just sort of a different way to hear a song?
For the car, it can be
it's
a lot easier to write with a ukulele just because you can write in the car and it doesn't take up space. You're not like banging your band with the head of the guitar, banging the window, causing like clattering. Or if you're like just an unplugged electric guitar, you can mostly just do the strumming.
Yeah.
So the ukulele can be really good for that, but then it also comes with some drawbacks just because there's only so much you can do with it at our level, at least, because we're not even ukulele. usually we'll transfer it over to like another instrument, guitar, bass, bass guitar.
Some of the toy guitar.
And for a while we carried around this little like Barbie plastic kids guitar that we got from Walmart. It did not stay in tune. And we did a skating poly stencil on the back of it, and it was probably not even 3 feet long. I think it was the size of like a two big ukulele.
Right.
The worst sound ever. And we had it during like the first time we ever went on to a gate mask when we recorded our third record. And there's like a video of us. It was, like, in a different key, too. Even if you put it into it, it was, like, definitely in a different key. Like, a video of us, Kate agreed to play a song, like, sing us on one of our songs. Mm. So we were practicing it backstage on this, like fucking just weird-ass ukulele or guitar thing.
Right.
And then we, like, go and play it live, and it's, like, in a completely different key. And I'm like, oh, well, good thing, like, Kate's a professional, because she was not, like, this is not what we set her up for. His neck is all bent. Yeah, like whenever you tune it, it just bends every time. One of those things that they do.
That's funny. What have you guys kind of learned, you know, just as yourself? I mean, because essentially you guys have a small business here. What have you kind of learned in the music business, you know, through the years and releasing album after album?
Oh, a lot of things. I don't know. Let me think on the most important, helpful thing I've learned. It's like anytime you like feel really upset about something, like maybe you play a show that was like 18,000 miles away and you like had to spend all this money to get there or something and you got paid like $100. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God, I wish that was me. Or like you like let this mix go of your song that you like hate or something like that. Or you played a show and like all of your instruments just like evaporated into thin air. Like,
right.
It's like you're keeping going. And you're always going to have more. So as long as you don't stop, it's like you're not going to be held to that thing. You know, like you just keep going. And it's like you always have a chance to like better yourself and to kind of, you know, leave that even further in the dust or come back from something, you know. And that's what's kind of great. It's like even when things get really frustrating, you can always just, you can always come back from it so much and make everything like way better and completely forget about it almost, you know, like you learn from it or whatever, but it's never the end of the world. And sometimes that's really hard. Like sometimes you have a bad show and you're just like, gosh, dang it. Someone's going to post that on YouTube and they're just going to have my monitor mix. But it's like, yeah, but so what? You're going to play a lot of shows. You can't control all that stuff. And then, also, the thing is, like, your heroes have had way worse shows or way worse experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you kind of have to have those bad things or those, like, gross, grimy encounters or whatever to kind of, like, well, yeah, they'll learn how to deal with it so it won't happen anymore.
Right. Well, and you guys are headed out on the road, too, now, coming up in December for a string of dates. Is it, and you guys are headlining too. What's the difference between when you guys are headlining a show and when you guys are opening a show?
I guess the main difference would just be like, whenever we're headlining, the majority of the people are coming to like see us and they don't just happen to see us.
Hmm.
Yeah, but me with my like stage fright and neurosis, like every show I'm convinced like, nope, they're here for the opening band. Nope, they hate us. Nope. But I don't necessarily think that makes being the headliner just like
better. I think that it's great to be the opener and have people just happen to see us and then like start following us and then come to see us next time whenever we headline. So I guess that's the main difference, but there's really great things about both. I feel like when you're the headliner, it's like the mission is to like exceed the expectation. Mm-hmm. And when you're the opening band, it's like to win people over because they're like out there like, oh, I'm going to just talk. It's the opening band now. I'm going to go get a drink. And then you have to, like, catch them in that moment, like, walking to the bathroom or whatever. Like, you have to do something. So, I mean, pretty much it's the same thing, but you, like, look at it in these different ways. And then also, headlining, you have to have more stamina because it's a longer set.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, because on the X tour, John, you know, John Doe from X, kept being, like, we're going to have a bass off, okay? It was a stamina off, specifically. It was like, we got to see who... And they were playing, like, an hour, 30-minute set, and we were doing, like, 30, 45 minutes every night. I just ran all this crazy stuff. But even though I was doing that, John Doe would... It all started from me remarking, like, how much stamina he has. I think he has way more stamina than I do, and he's way older than me, you know, like, he can just keep going, and he's, like, spraying sweat everywhere, and he's just, like, pretty exciting to watch, and it was funny, because at the end of the thing, I was like, we're the one tonight, John, and he was like, well, we can't really determine that, but you guys play an hour 30 minutes, but we play 45 minutes. You win again.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting way to approach things too. But you're like, are they going to like the opening act? Because so many times I go to see shows, and now through the years I've seen shows, and you're like, oh wait, now a band came up, and you're like, oh wait, I saw them open for such and such, you know, before they were kind of anything. So you never know who you could discover too when you go see shows like that. So yeah, you guys have to have that mindset of like, hey, yeah, we're going to be that new band that people discover.
Yeah, and so like you don't want to talk about yourself too much.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't care. They're here for X or K-Tax or Deerhoof or, you know, whoever. And then headlining, you do kind of want to talk about yourself.
Right.
But then it's like, I don't know. It's just different.
Right.
It's different. And for me, it's like, I still can't get over, like when we came back home in May and we played, like, in Oklahoma for the first time in, like, a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. And we've, like, this whole venue was packed, and I was like, nope, they must be here for those people. But they were awesome. I knew a lot of these people, like, even if I didn't know them, I knew them. And so, like, we get up there, and it was just like, I don't know, it was really great experience, because they really were, like, they knew our songs, and they, like, wanted to listen to what I had to say, and it was, like, in the middle of, like, or it was right after us opening for X, so it was kind of this weird change. That, like, okay, like, they're not just waiting for X. I'm, like, excited because they're the cool open fan. They're, like, here for me. And that was kind of, like, strange. I was, like, wow.
Right. Strange, but really cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you guys have the album, has the new album complete? Do you guys have a release date sometime, like, next year or something?
Yes, but we can't announce it.
Yeah.
Secret.
We have the recording done. We're done with recording.
Yeah.
We have to mix it, master it, do, like, all the, like, extra stuff, artwork, title. There's still a lot to do, and we don't have the exact release date, but, you know, sometime next year.
Right. Awesome. We'll definitely look forward to that. So the last question I have for you guys, what are some of the bands that you guys are listening to maybe these days on Spotify or wherever you guys are listening to music these days? Are there anything new and interesting that you guys are listening to?
We are, like, really obsessed with this girl, Jenny O.
Okay.
She's just an incredible songwriter. I love her song. I can, like, put her on shuffle and just, like, always... I haven't heard, like, a bad song by her yet.
Mm.
And it's really good. And then also, I mean, so we were just making our albums of the year list, so these are kind of fresh on the money. But this band that we've, like, all three of us have been obsessed with this year is Charlie Bliss.
Hmm.
And they've been getting a lot of attention lately. Like, I feel like they're going to be huge. They're, like, we got to see them on an off day on one of our tours this year, and they have like such an exciting, like loving, happy show. It's like happy but also loud and like fun. I think they sound I hate saying girl Weezer because it's just a girl singer.
Right.
Really poppy, like rocking, amazing songs. And then Eva, I'm just obsessed with her voice. And she has these dark lyrics, kind of like Liz Phair or something. Peyton?
Yeah, obviously, the two Kelly just mentioned, I have not been able to turn off Jenny O. Like, that's all I've listened to the past week. Literally. All I listened to.
Right.
And then I really love Car Seat Headrest.
Yeah.
And then the Orwells, we love their new album and their other album, their first album, album. I don't know.
And they're so cool.
Yeah, they're great.
This year, honestly, though, for me, kind of been like a more like digging into older music year. Like, I've become obsessed with Joni Mitchell. Blue finally clicked with me. I went on this like very like cathartic walk through my neighborhood listening to Blue as the sun was going down, and I was like, it all makes sense. I'm listening to new music. If it wasn't for Kelly, I don't think I'd ever listen to anything except Elliot Smith and Nutrimark. So I'm actually the worst about this question.
Curtis is always the one bringing new music to our lives, and I'm like, no, play that pop song I've heard a billion times.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for your time, guys. I totally appreciate it. So where can we find your Skating Poly music on your website and stuff?
You can find us. It's like it's streaming everywhere. I feel like it's on you. We have like a billion YouTube videos. I don't know how in stock their website is, but it's just skatingpoly.com.
So if you're looking to discover some new music, check out Skating Poly. As always, we'll have all the links in the show notes. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. You can check out Jeff on Instagram at The Traveling Game. And if you love this podcast, do me a favor, share it with your friends, shout it out on social media, head on over to the link in the show notes, and leave us a review.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.